The idea that I might ever have been discussed around the dinner table at the bakery fire just in passing in Peeta's house gives me a start. It must have been when the mother was out of the room. "He knew your mother when they were kids," says Peeta. Another surprise, but probably true. "Oh, yes, she grew up in town," I say. It seems impolite to say she never mentioned the baker except to compliment his bread. We're at my door. I give back his jacket. "See you in the morning, then." "See you," he says, and walks off down the hall. When I open my door, the redheaded girl is collecting my unitard and boots from where I left them on the floor before my shower. I want to apologize for possibly getting her in trouble earlier, but I remember I'm not supposed to speak to her unless I'm giving her an order. "Oh, sorry," I say. "I was supposed to get those back to Sinna, I'm sorry. Can you take them to him?" She avoids my gaze, gives a small nod, and heads out the door. I'd set out to tell her I was sorry about dinner, but I know that my apology runs much deeper, that I'm ashamed I never tried to help her in the woods, that I let the capital kill the boy and mutilate her without lifting a finger, just like I was watching the games. I kick off my shoes and climb under the covers in my clothes. The shivering hasn't stopped. Perhaps the girl doesn't even remember me, but I know she does. You don't forget the face of the person who is your last hope. I pull the covers up over my head as if this will protect me from the redheaded girl who can't speak. But I can feel her eyes staring at me, piercing through walls and doors and bedding. I wonder if she'll enjoy watching me die. Chapter 7. My slumbers are filled with disturbing dreams. The face of the redheaded girl intertwines with gory images from earlier Hunger Games, with my mother withdrawn and unreachable, with Prim emaciated and terrified. I bolt up, screaming for my father to run as the mine explodes into a million deadly bits of light. Dawn is breaking through the windows. The capital has a misty, haunted air. My head aches, and I must have bitten into the side of my cheek in the night. My tongue probes the ragged flesh, and I taste blood. Slowly, I drag myself out of bed and into the shower. I arbitrarily punch buttons on the control board and end up hopping from foot to foot as alternating jets of icy cold and steaming hot water assault me. Then I'm deluged in lemony foam that I have to scrape off with a heavy bristled brush. Oh well, at least my blood is flowing. When I'm dried and moisturized with lotion, I find an outfit has been left for me at the front of the closet. Tight black pants, a long-sleeved burgundy tunic, and leather shoes. I put my hair in the single braid down my back. This is the first time since the morning of the reaping that I resemble myself. No fancy hair and clothes, no flaming capes. Just me, looking like I could be headed for the woods. It calms me. Haymitch didn't give us an exact time to meet for breakfast, and no one has contacted me this morning, but I'm hungry, so I head down to the dining room, hoping there will be food. I'm not disappointed. While the table is empty, a long board off to the side has been laid with at least 20 dishes. A young man, an Avox, stands at attention by the spread. When I ask if I can serve myself, he nods assent. I load a plate with eggs, sausages, batter cakes covered in thick orange preserves, slices of pale purple melon. As I gorge myself, I watch the sun rise over the capital. I have a second plate of hot grains smothered in beef stew. Finally, I fill a plate with rolls and sit at the table, breaking off bits and dipping them into hot chocolate, the way Peeta did on the train. My mind wanders to my mother and Prim. They must be up. My mother getting their breakfast of mush, Prim milking her goat before school. Just two mornings ago, I was home. Can that be right? Yes, just two. And now how empty the house feels, even from a distance. What did they say last night about my fiery debut at the games? Did it give them hope? Or simply add to their terror when they saw the reality of 24 tributes circled together, knowing only one could live? Haymitch and Peeta come in, bid me good morning, fill their plates. It makes me irritated that Peeta is wearing exactly the same outfit I am. I need to say something to Cinna. This twins act is going to blow up in our faces once the games begin. Surely they must know this. Then I remember Haymitch telling me to do exactly what the stylists tell me to do. If it was anyone but Cinna, I might be tempted to ignore him. But after last night's triumph, I don't have a lot of room to criticize his choices. I'm nervous about the training. There will be 3 days in which all the tributes practice together. On the last afternoon, we'll each get a chance to perform in private before the game makers. The thought of meeting the other tributes face to face makes me queasy. I turn the roll I have just taken from the basket over and over in my hands, but my appetite is gone. When Haymitch has finished several platters of stew, he pushes back his plate with a sigh. He takes a flask from his pocket and takes a long pull on it and leans his elbows on the table.
So let's get down to business. Training. First off, if you like, I'll coach you separately. Decide now.
Why would you coach us separately, I ask.
Say if you had a secret skill you might not want the other to know about, says Haymitch.
I exchange a look with Peeta.
I don't have any secret skills, he says. And I already know what yours is, right? I mean, I've eaten enough of your squirrels.
I never thought about Peeta eating the squirrels I shot. Somehow I always pictured the baker quietly going off and frying them up for himself, not out of greed, but because town families usually eat expensive butcher meat, beef and chicken and horse.
You can coach us together, I tell Haymitch.
Peeta nods.
All right, so give me some idea of what you can do, says Haymitch. I can't do anything, says Peeta, unless you count baking bread. Sorry, I don't. Katniss, I already know you're handy with a knife, says Haymitch.
Not really, but I can hunt, I say, with a bow and arrow.
And you're good? Asks Haymitch.
I have to think about it. I've been putting food on the table for 4 years. That's no small task. I'm not as good as my father was, but he'd had more practice. I've better aim than Gale, but I've had more practice. He's a genius with traps and snares. I'm all right, I say.
She's excellent, says Peeta. My father buys her squirrels. He always comments on how the arrows never pierce the body. She hits everyone in the eye. It's the same with the rabbit she sells the butcher. She can even bring down deer.
This assessment of my skills from Peeta takes me totally by surprise. First, that he ever noticed. Second, that he's talking me up. What are you doing? I ask him suspiciously.
What are you doing? If he's going to help you, he has to know what you're capable of. Don't underrate yourself, says Peeta.
I don't know why, but this rubs me the wrong way. What about you? I've seen you in the market. You can lift 100-pound bags of flour, I snap at him. Tell him that. That's not nothing.
Yes, and I'm sure the arena will be full of bags of flour for me to chuck at people. It's not like being able to use a weapon. You know it isn't, he shoots back.
He can wrestle, I tell Haymitch. He came in second in our school competition last year, only after his brother.
What use is that? How many times have you seen someone wrestle someone to death? Says Peeta in disgust.
There's always hand-to-hand combat. All you need is to come up with a knife, and you'll at least stand a chance. If I get jumped, I'm dead. I can hear my voice rising in anger.
But you won't. You'll be living up in some tree, eating raw squirrels and picking off people with arrows. You know what my mother said to me when she came to say goodbye, as if to cheer me up? She says, maybe District 12 will finally have a winner. Then I realized she didn't mean me, she meant you, bursts out Peeta.
Oh, she meant you, I say with a wave of dismissal.
She said, she's a survivor, that one. She is,
says Peeta.
That pulls me up short. Did his mother really say that about me?